Now we have him. It's a Mike Grimm Monday here on KATE. Mike, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football and sports director for the Minnesota News Network, joins us. And Mike, a good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Aaron, how's it going?
It's going good. How you been?
I've been good. I'm actually en route back from Iowa. I'm just coming up on the Iowa-Minnesota border. So had I left a little earlier, I could have stopped in person and we could have done this. But
that would have been cool.
The Hawkeyes and Gophers had a tussle yesterday down in Iowa City. My brother lives down near there, so I got to hang out with him after the game last night, stayed there, and working my way back into the great state of Minnesota.
We're going to talk about that game in just a moment, but I do have to mention right off the bat, Mike, I've heard your voice on our station about 80 times today, or it seems like 80 times. You're doing a promotion, and I forget what the commercial is for, but I got to ask you about you getting married at a lake. That's what we're finding out with this new promotion I'm hearing, or this new commercial I've been hearing all day.
Yeah, you know, so that's for our friends at Upstream Minnesota, which is a group that is trying to help conserve the outdoor, the parks, the lakes, the different areas of Minnesota and all across the state. So, that campaign started today. They asked if I wanted to be a part of it. It's been in the works for a little bit here, but so Upstream Minnesota is the name of that group, and I did way back in the day, back when I was a younger man, get married on the shores of Lake Mille Lacs, north of the cities, one of the great lakes in Minnesota. And my wife and I got married actually on the first tee box of Izades Golf Resort, if people know of that area.
Nice.
The people that were sitting there got to see us on this elevated tee box and then the beautiful lake behind. So, as long as we're talking, I do have kind of a funny story about that. So it was back in 1995, so a long time ago. Many of your listeners probably weren't even born then. And we sent the invitations out, and the wedding was in June.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding you. We legitimately had some of my relatives in Iowa think that Lake Mille Lacs must have been, you know, on the North Pole. Because they're like, oh, a wedding. June, should we bring our winter coats, or what should we do there? And I'm like, no, you're going to be fine. And as it turned out, it was one of the hottest weekends on recorded history in Minnesota. And as it turned out, we didn't even wear the jackets. It was so hot, and it was like 96 degrees or something like that there. So I always poke fun at my friends in Iowa, like, what did you think? Minnesota. And that's when it kind of dawned on me that, that even like trying to recruit, if you're a coach for the Gophers or what have you, that's the perception you're always up against, is that even in June, you're going to need a parka, or you need a snowplow or whatever. But as it turned out, it was totally opposite of that. And all of my friends and family from Iowa were like, oh, man, yeah, this is just the opposite of having to need a parka, because it was hotter than blazes that weekend.
I got to ask, so is your wife an avid golfer? That you got her to marry you at a tee box?
No, neither one of us are. I mean, I golf. She does not. But her parents owned a condo at the resort.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, it was a great time, because we could go up there. We did golf on that golf course often. And then they had a really nice boat. We'd go out on the lake and we'd do some fishing, and we'd pull the inner tube behind the boat, and, we'd have to go find because that's a big lake. So there were days where you couldn't really go out and pull the tube behind it. But we'd go out and find, it's such a big lake, we could find a quiet area. My father-in-law would pull us on this big inner tube behind the boat. So I don't remember how long they owned that place, but we would go to Izades. We spent a lot of Christmases at Izades early in our marriage. My son, who's now a senior in college, actually took his first steps as a toddler at Izades. We were there for Christmas, so that had to be probably Christmas of 2000. I think about 20 some years ago now. And he took his first steps at that condo that they owned right on the shores of the lake there. So that's kind of how it all unfolded.
So when you hear the commercial or the promotion that's running here on Kate Radio, there's the story when Mike mentions he gets married off the shores of a lake. There's the background story for that 30-second ad that's running here on Kate.
Story behind the story. There you go.
Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football, and the sports director for the Minnesota News Network. And I want to ask you another kind of off-the-wall question. Do you get bothered by random strangers when you're out in public? Do people walk up to you and go, hey, that's Mike Grimm, and just come up to you and say hi?
Not that often. I think mostly because, you know, not a lot of people know what the radio guys look like, you know. It's different than if you're a TV sports anchor or even a TV news anchor or what have you, where you're, you know, every night at 10 o'clock your face is up there for 30 minutes and you walk through, you know, a mall or something and you have people pointing at you. Occasionally I will have someone say, hey, aren't you the guy that does the Gophers or something like that? Or certainly if I'm around Williams Arena or the stadium, then people, you know, the diehards will recognize and will stop and say something. But not often. But to even further answer that question, early on it was a little disarming to have people just come right up to you and start talking like they know you. Well, who's this guy? You know, why is he, you know? And then after I thought about it and got a little more used to it, I took it as a compliment in the sense that, you know, we're delivering, you know, a product and trying to connect with the listener and bring them into the Williams Arena or bring them into Huntington Bank Stadium or what have you. And the fact that they feel like they know me well enough, even though they've never met me, to just come right up and, hey, how you doing? Hey, Grimmer, how's it going? Hey, we do this and that. And at first, because you're just not used to that, it was a little disarming. But I take it now, I have been able to, you know, like take a step back and say, you know, it really is kind of a compliment that I think done a good enough job to connect with that particular listener that they just feel comfortable as if I were a friend of theirs to come up and just carry on conversation. So I'm used to it now, and it's not disarming at all. You know, it's great. I, you know, shake their hand, and we'll talk Gophers or whatever. I don't know if that's the area you're headed for that question, but, that's kind of how I handle those things now when it does happen. You know, oftentimes, even at the coaches' show, you know, the PJ Fleck show, we're at a restaurant, so people obviously know who I am there. And during commercials and stuff, they'll come up to PJ or me or both or whoever and start talking, and we don't know who they are, and it's normal now. So, and it's good, and I take it like, hey, you know, they want to hear about what I thought of the game, or they want to hear about this, or hey, I know a buddy who knows you, and so it's cool. I kind of embrace it now. After, you know, early in my time here, it was, you know, I just wasn't used to it, so it was a weird feeling, but it's good. I enjoy that part of it.
You know, I feel bad for TV people because I bring this topic up. On Saturday, we were in Delano for a basketball tournament, and we saw Marnie Gellner with Bally Sports. Yeah. And I feel bad because I'm sure a lot of people go up and say hi to Marnie. And me being a person that's more impressed seeing fellow broadcasters and athletes, I've always been more impressed because we're in the media. We like to meet other, you know, broadcaster. So I kind of felt weird, but I went up and said hi to her real quick, a 10-second conversation. Very nice. We know Marnie's nice. I just, after the conversation, I'm like, am I like the 100th guy that's walked up today and said, hey, Marnie, how are you doing? You know, I felt a little weird about it after the conversation. But again, TV people probably go through that all the time.
Yeah, and she's like the sweetheart of the world, right? She's so, and I honestly just in recent, really recent months have gotten to know her a little bit through some of my more regular appearances on the morning show on our flagship station in the Twin Cities, and she's a part of that show, and she's just an easy person to approach and talk to, and so yeah, she's awesome. One, she's really good at her job, obviously,
yes.
But two, she's one of the nicest people ever. So I doubt she felt at all put out by that, and I promise you, like I said, for me, you get used to, you know, I'm used to it now. It was a little weird at the start, and I definitely don't get, you know, the number of people that Marnie probably does, and so it doesn't surprise me that she was nice, and I wouldn't feel bad about it. I'm sure she's used to it at this point.
Well, when you see her, tell her Aaron from Albert Lee says hi, and thanks to her son's team for beating my team by 20. Just relay that message to her. But,
oh, my goodness. So, to head up to Delano, right? That's a that's a heck of a. I mean, you're committed to the deal there.
That's right. No, absolutely. Mike Grimm with us here on Kate Radio. Now we'll get into the sports stuff. I had a couple of off the wall topics I wanted to bring up with Mike, but let's talk about that Gophers game yesterday. 38-34. Gophers were up by four at halftime, and these are the kind of games against an Iowa team that has that doesn't have the greatest record that you hope that you can find a way to maybe pull out a game like this. What do you think was the biggest difference in the second half, Mike? Because Iowa outscored us 37-21. What was the biggest change from half one to half two?
Yeah, I mean, a combination of things. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, with this team, I think you're going to get effort. I think you're going to get, you know, toughness and everything you want. But it really has come down to when they, and it's not a secret. I mean, this is true for most teams. It was definitely true for you know, all the, you know, really all the recent years in terms of Gopher basketball. When they shoot the ball well, like they did in the first half, they find themselves up four. And when you don't shoot the ball well, you find yourself getting outscored by 17 or whatever it was in the second half, because they hit three threes in their first six shots or seven shots, the Gophers did, to start the second half to go up five, because Iowa went four for its first four. They came out like a house of fire as well, but the Gophers extended the halftime lead from four to five. I want to say that was probably 5-6 minutes into the second half, and then Minnesota went cold and really struggled the rest of the game offensively. And having said that, I think you have to tip your cap to Iowa as well, because they obviously made an adjustment, and I'll be honest, I think they gave Minnesota a look that just Iowa hasn't shown much, and Iowa hasn't over the years been thought of as this great defensive team. That's kind of been, you know, one of their bugaboos over the years. They've always been a good scoring team. They like to play fast, but they haven't guarded people the best. But they've been better defensively this year, and they basically just swarmed the ball. Whoever had the ball, you know, one or two guys on the perimeter would just go attack the ball. And the Gophers really struggled to adjust and figure out a way to handle that. There were, I don't know, two, three, four shot clock violations where, you know, Minnesota was just playing in kind of a scatterbrained, you know, trying to figure out who was open. And so tip of the cap to Iowa there. And so the reason they didn't shoot well wasn't just themselves. It wasn't as if they were missing and clanking a bunch of open shots. I thought Iowa played a role there. And Minnesota never, I thought, handled that piece of Iowa's defense very well in that second half.
Mike Grimm, voice of Gopher men's basketball. Again, the Gophers get beat yesterday 71-59. They fall to 2-9 in the Big Ten, 11-9 overall. We'll have Mike on a couple of times yet this week. The Gophers at Nebraska on Wednesday, and the Gophers hosting Penn State coming up on Saturday. Mike, you were busy yesterday, and I was watching the Timberwolves. The Pro Bowl took place. I'm assuming you didn't get a chance to watch any of the NFL Pro Bowl.
I did not. I was, you know, I was doing the Minnesota Iowa game. That said, I think this: if I weren't doing that game and I were sitting at home on my couch, I still probably would not have watched that game.
How do they fix it? How do they make it better? Because what I've heard from Mike that works here, Mike White, as he talked about it, was like touch football, that, you know, nobody wanted to tackle each other, and it was not really football. It should have been flag football instead, which I totally understand, because you don't want a million-dollar athlete to bust a knee or hurt an ankle in a Pro Bowl. How does the NFL make it more inviting for fans to actually want to watch?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think it's just here's the thing. Whenever the TV ratings get announced for that, it's still going to be the most watched sporting event of the weekend. So if you're in charge of the NFL, you're going to say, well, as you mentioned, I mean, and really, they're not million-dollar athletes. Some of them are $100 million athletes, right? Like the NFL doesn't want, you know, Dalvin Cook to get hurt. You know, Tom Brady, who I doubt played in the game. I didn't watch it. But, you know, they don't want their superstars to get hurt. So it's really a conundrum, because, you know, you've got all these, you know, it'd be one thing if it were a bunch of guys that were, you know, middle of the road or worse, but these are your best players generally, and certainly don't want them to get hurt in a meaningless game. So I think the conundrum is, look, people are going to watch it. Let's send it out. I mean, maybe flag football, but I remember they had a flag football beach volleyball kind of a combo thing a few years ago, and I forget, but somebody blew their knee out there, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I can't remember. That had to be 10 years ago, probably, maybe a little more. But so there is no easy answer. I don't think you can fix it. I think that, you know, that is, you know, football, you can't fake football. I mean, you can't fake effort in football. You get exposed. And by the same token, you're not trying to kill anybody. Those guys all know the deal as well. So I think it is what it is. And if people want to watch, and there'll be millions who did, at the end of the day, the NFL wants to put a thing on TV that a lot of people will watch, that they can sell sponsorships to and play commercials, and that's where you're at. I mean, unless somebody way smarter than me has a better answer, it just is what it is. And here's the deal. I have not watched a Pro Bowl in a long time, maybe bits and pieces here and there, but that doesn't mean millions of others aren't. And that's what the NFL has going for it, right? I mean, that's why the NFL draft is one of the highest-rated shows. And that really is not, you know, there's nothing really great about that other than you find out who your team's picking, you know. And, I mean, for Pete's sake, the NFL Network now has an off-season show that reveals the schedules of the teams that get the million, you know, millions of people to watch. So I don't, you know, we all may think it needs to be fixed, and even maybe people in charge think that there could be something different. I don't know how you create a competitive deal in a violent game. You know, even the hockey All-Star game was over the weekend. Hockey's, you know, that's easier, particularly when you're playing. I think a lot of that was what 3-on-3 hockey.
And I like that a lot. I like the 3-on-3. That was awesome.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's easier in the baseball game. Like baseball, you can play all out, and you have your best players, and more likely, you know, it will just be a bad luck situation if somebody gets hurt in that game. Where football, you're hitting, you're banging, you're blocking, you're tackling. I mean, that's a tough conundrum. I don't know if there's an answer, and I don't know if there has to be. Like, if you like it and you're an NFL fan, watch it, and the NFL will cash the big check. And if not, and I'm a fan of the NFL, but I just can't bring myself to be that interested in that game. I'll watch the Major League All-Star game. Had I not been busy with other stuff, I did watch some of the highlights of that NHL game. So you know, there, you know, in the NBA All-Star game, there, you know, now basically that's a race to 180, literally. Like, yep, the first team to 180 might win that game, and it's okay. I mean, that's okay. That's what it is. And people want to see Kevin Durant, LeBron James score a bunch of points, and they do. So the NFL game is what it is. I don't know if there's a way to fix it, quite frankly.
Mike Grimm, Mondays here on KATE. And, Mike, before I let you go, one last topic. Let's talk about one of my favorite teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves, playing some very good basketball. I forget when the trade deadline is. It's right around the corner. And not too often, as Timberwolves fans, are we in a position where we'd be trading to get better instead of trading to maybe get some draft picks or some younger assets. I mean, this is pretty cool to have a winter time where the Minnesota Wild are 9-0-1 in their last 10 games. The Timberwolves are right there in the playoff hunt. And we're talking about possible trades that could improve the team here in 2022. What's your thoughts on the T-Wolves making any kind of a big splash at the trade deadline? I like the pieces we have. I really do. So I'm scared to make a trade, but I know that if they want to move up even farther against the Western Conference teams, there's probably a move or two that needs to be made.
Right. Yeah. I don't know enough about who is available, you know, and how it all works. I'm not sure when the deadline is either. I know it's coming up here this month. And then the question is, and it's the same in all sports when the trade deadline hits, like you said. You want to mess with a chemistry of a team now that's finally healthy and playing pretty good basketball. They're winning the games they're supposed to win, and that's good. That has not always been the case with the Timberwolves, right? You know,
yes,
you sweep through Detroit, you know. I mean, in the past, Detroit's no good. The Wolves would play them, and they might split two games. Well, they swept through them without much issue, and so that's good. And this group is getting there. And right now, I think you want to avoid that play-in tournament. And to do that, maybe you need to upgrade. And what, you know, so then the question is, well, where are the deficiencies? And I'm not sure. You know, I'm not trying to suggest they're some juggernaut that's just going to waltz to a title. But the question is, you know, barring going out and getting, you know, one of the top 10 players in the league, where do you upgrade? Is it just a little thing? And what do you have to give up to upgrade? And people smarter than I, you know, are going to figure that stuff out from a basketball standpoint. But you know, this I tip my cap to them. I mean, they had a rough off season. You know, the president of basketball operations gets fired. You're not sure what that's going to lead. There was rumblings that they were going to try to trade for Ben Simmons. And, you know, Rosas is out. And so now are you going to do that? And I think we all would look and say, thank goodness they didn't give up a bunch of assets for him. Because right now, that I don't think that would have worked very well. Because, one, it's my understanding he's not playing that great, one. And, two, we're seeing with this group all healthy now that, you know, there's a possibility that they can play with anybody. And so that's kind of exciting.
Mike Grimm Mondays here on KETE. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have a safe rest of your travel back to the Twin Cities, and we'll talk to you on Monday, and we'll hear from you on Wednesday when the Gophers are in Lincoln to take on Nebraska.
It sounds good. Always enjoy it. Thank you, Aaron.